Tonight, I'm not actually having the church turn anywhere. Just want you to watch the screen. We're going to talk about the Feast of Israel tonight. Click. All right. Praise the Lord. So, have you ever heard this expression, a picture is worth a thousand words? Click. Let's click to the next one. What does that mean? It means that you can communicate more clearly in your thoughts when you use visual aids than when you would have words alone. For instance, you have a little kid and you're going to teach them to read. You don't give them a lecture on the theory of language. You would actually give them a block that has a letter on it. And so the block helps teach. Well, this is what happens when we are reading the Bible. Church, you have to understand, people are like, well, we're New Testament believers. What do we even need the Old Testament for? Oh, my goodness. It's not just historical. It's not just prophetic. This is God talking to you, and he can show you so many things through these visuals. So they're used to teach certain people certain truths. And the Jewish people practiced law and rituals through their physical senses that were really pictures with spiritual truths concerning their relationship with God. So today we're going to look at a visual aid, and one of the clearest visual aids that we're looking at is would be when God gave the Jews the holidays. Click. All right. Blocks help children learn the alphabet. God uses the Old Testament pictures as visual aids. Anybody know what that picture is right there just for fun? That's Golgotha. That's right. There's actually a Palestinian bus station below Golgotha. It just made me mad when I saw that. But praise the Lord. Glory to God. Anyway, so what we understand and know that one of the clearest church visual aids that we all have is when you look at the Feast of Israel, they're going to tell us a whole lot of things. They're pictures of several things. We would call them holidays. The Hebrew word would be moeds or moedim. Okay. Now, these feasts were their special convocations established by God when the Jews would come together to meet God in a special way. There are seven feasts. But there are three main categories, and all of the feasts happened around harvest season, okay? So they had a barley harvest, a wheat harvest, a fruit harvest, and a final in-gathering harvest. Let's say this before we go any further. We all live on what kind of calendar? Anybody know? Gregorian calendar, a solar-type calendar, and the Jews live off of what? A lunar calendar. They have what we call a civil calendar, and they also have a sacred calendar. So their new year, anybody know when their new year is? September, October-ish, and we call it what? Rosh Hashanah. That's right. Click. Some in Texas, they say Rosh Hashanah. I believe it's Rosh Hashanah. Okay. Okay, the Feast of Israel. So here's what we're looking at right here. We're looking at, these are the seven things right here. Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, Pentecost, trumpets, atonement, and tabernacles. Anybody recognize those two girls standing there in Jerusalem? Okay, click. So now, in every feast, we see something. Anybody recognize Jesus? And so those of you that don't know my son, that's Toby. Toby has very short hair. Looks more like bald. But anyway, but he plays Jesus in a thing they do at their church. Anyway, so here's what I want you to get out of this. Historical value, prophetic value, personal and seasonal value. That's what you can actually see in all the feasts, along with actually seeing Jesus in the feast. Click. Now, there are seven of these, but they're in three seasons. So we have the Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. So we have three major encounters. Passover, Pesach, you all understand pretty much what it is. Pentecost, where does that word come from? Anybody know? Penta means 50. 50 days after Passover. That's actually the day that Moses received the law, brought the law down. The Hebrew people call it Shavuot, okay? And then there's tabernacles. And so what we're looking at is three major encounters, actually. Okay, click. Man, Virginia, you're right on it, I tell you. Now, our encounter with Passover should bring peace to us. And the first encounter that we had, of course, is that God's people had was when the Jews were delivered from Egypt, right? That's where the first Passover, most everybody listening and watching this understands that the way to be delivered from death is through a lamb that was slain, placed on the doorpost. Amen. So he showed them how to be delivered from death. Click. Now, he used the blood of the lamb to save the people. Everybody pretty familiar with that? I think I'm preaching to the choir, right? All right. So God instructed the Jews to celebrate Passover as a memorial of their deliverance. Praise God. Everybody who killed the lamb put the blood on the doorpost, right? And they escaped. Now, click. So Jesus, of course, was our lamb slain. Amen. And we'll talk, when we get to resurrection time, we'll talk more about how he arranged his schedule so that he was actually crucified at the same time they were taking the lamb's lives. Okay? So praise the Lord. All right, click. Pentecost, that's the day when the law was given, as I said, 50 days after first fruits. But for us, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Just a fun note for you guys. Some of us in this room have gotten to experience Pentecost in the upper room. So cool. We actually end up on that day. Praise the Lord. So now the purpose, click, is power. The Holy Spirit poured out his power on God's people on Pentecost. Everybody watching this knows that. But it's good for you to understand these things because of where we're headed. So give me a minute. I know you're going, Pastor, we know all this stuff. This is Sunday school. Well, now you don't know who in here needs to hear this, okay? Plus, you need to know where we're going. All right. Now, click. Now, Here's the purpose of it all. When you have power, you become a bold witness. You also have burden-removing, yoke-destroying power on your life. And then the gifts of and the fruits of the Spirit are in manifestation. When did Jesus start doing miracles? After he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Totally necessary to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You need for the Spirit of God to come upon you. Click. All right, tabernacles. Now, tabernacles is an interesting thing. This is the ingathering of the harvest. So they're going to gather, and they all come together, and they celebrate the Feast of Booths, they call it. And back when I learned this, they called it sukkah. They would come into a sukkah. So what they were doing is they were actually building these little booths and staying in them all together as they were being reminded of when they didn't have homes and they were out coming through the wilderness and getting delivered. Amen? So now you have to keep that in mind. So they slept in shelters as they were coming out from Egypt. So it's really a picture of spiritual maturity as you begin to walk through this, because this is when they had to learn to live in the rest, because they had to totally depend on God. That should give us a big hint right there. You learn to totally depend on God. So no matter what the circumstances, we trust the one who brought us out. Amen. Okay, click. Now, let's look at this just for a moment. This will help you. It's just a chart, and we can fill in the details. Such as the other feasts associated with the seasons, Jesus in the season, da, da, da. Okay, so start at the left over there. Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits. Pentecost, Then there's no feast, and then we see tabernacles, trumpets, Day of Atonement, and actual tabernacles there. Now, I want to just name them off, and then I'll say something to you. The next one, so you see Passover, Jesus was crucified; unleavened bread, Jesus is buried; first fruits, he was resurrected; Pentecost, he's exalted. And then at the bottom, look at that, on trumpets, defeat the enemy. Interesting that it's called trumpets. Purifying the bride, and then rapture, okay? Now for the believer, go up here, okay? Passover is your new birth, okay? Unleavened bread is you put off the old. First fruits is you put on the new. Pentecost is Holy Spirit baptism. And then trumpets is the full armor, Day of Atonement, baptism of fire, tabernacles is God's rest. Now, seasonally, you all know what Luther did. He brought out grace, right? Yeah. Remember that he went up and put the on the door. And so he brought grace back in because everybody was trying to pay to get saved. Yeah. Y'all know this. Okay, so he came out with truth. Then Wesley came in and brought in people coming in, getting delivered, getting saved. In Kansas, at 1201, in 1901, in Topeka, Kansas, Debbie, you can call her name. Agnes who?
Osman
received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay, they were in this little school that they built. They all got together and they began to pray because they knew there was something more. In America, it wasn't, the Holy Spirit baptism wasn't a big deal. I mean, it wasn't around, I'll just say it like that. People weren't seeing the fulfillment of it. So they prayed, they broke through, and then you know what happened from there. It began to spread. And so when you see Los Angeles, 1906, what's that? Azusa Street. There you go. Now, here's the interesting thing that I wanted to get to. Tabernacles, prophetically, has not been fulfilled. Okay? It's not fulfilled. We are presently in this phase and stepping into it. But we are actually going to see. Now, Satan has been defeated, church. But we're going to see the last enemy, which is death, go down, okay? And so these things are actually very important for us to understand. I think you can very well understand what tabernacles would be at the end. That means we're going to heaven. Praise the Lord. It's the rapture, okay? So this baptism of fire, I'm going to say seasonally, is right now. The baptism of fire started right now. I know that are y'all aware of Mario Murillo? Yes. What's going on with him? Did y'all see that he got together with all those pastors and they all came together? And what happened was he fed them outside and then he said, "We're going in. If you want to come in, come in." And they went in there and had I'll just say this, Holy Ghost blowout. And what they said was, "Listen, California, I'm going to tell you, we're all going to go to church on Sunday. And you're not going to stop us." Now, he's having these big tent meetings and things are happening. So got goosebumps. So what we saw is it's like Azusa. It's like Azusa happening. And the gifts of the Spirit are being poured out. So it's not just, okay, look, it's not just people getting saved. There's other things happening. For one thing, pastors are saying, "We're not chickens.
Come on, that's right.
We're going to have church." Another thing that is happening is that people are getting healed.
That's right.
People are getting delivered. So there's miracles going on. Well, in Azusa Street, the glory cloud would come.
That's right.
All the time. I mean, the kids played in the little smoky stuff. They loved it. They'd get on the floor and play. But everybody that came into Azusa Street, into those buildings like on Bonnie Bray and then the other building that they were in, those people were, I'm talking the presence of God was way down the road. And when they began to walk up, the presence of God was so strong there. So we need to understand that we're way through all these steps. And so when we look at our history, we can understand Passover was a great thing. But our Passover lamb, Jesus, is a better thing for us. So you can see the progression of the better as you go across these charts. But it's a beautiful thing that God set that up so we can actually see it in the Old Testament. You can actually see all of this in the feast, which are moeds. So one of these days I want to talk to you about set times, about moeds. Because moeds, okay, let me just talk to you about them right now. You're in one. You're in a moed. You're in a, okay, we'll go Greek here. You're in a kairos. You're not in a chronos. You're in a kairos right now. This is a set time and things are happening. The Holy Spirit is pouring out his power and you're going to be swept into something very new. It's not going to be like 1906. It's going to be a double whammy.
Yeah.
I like to say that the Spirit of God's going to come up on you, but there's also going to be signs from heaven and power from heaven. Old Testament, New Testament. What did the book of Joel say? Joel said that it would be the two rains coming together. And when did they come together? Harvest. That's why I want you to understand the harvest. I want you to understand the first fruits. I want you to understand resurrection power. I want you to understand that you're new, and I want you to understand that you're walking in it right now. Amen. So the seven feasts here are the seven steps that we take. We accept the Passover lamb. We get out of Egypt, right? Okay. And then you die to your old self, which would mean that then you get Egypt out of you. This is big. Before they crossed over into the Jordan, they had to get Egypt out of them. They were acting like Egypt. That's why they built that golden calf. Amen. So they had to get that reproach out of them. Well, that's what the word will do for you. That's what grace will do for you. It'll push that stuff out of you. You learn to judge yourself. You learn to say, okay, Lord, you know, let's work on this. Let me see that, you know, Holy Spirit, reveal what I need. Word of God, reveal what I need. You look into a mirror and you go from glory to glory and your life begins to change. And so you don't do it legalistically. It's not, well, we better act this way at our church. We have these rules. No. It's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of following the Spirit. Okay? And so then you yield to Pentecost. You get filled with the Holy Spirit. Didn't you do all these things in your life? I remember on the part of when I had to die to myself, you know, which I'm still doing every day. And you all are too, you know. And when I say die to myself, don't take that wrong. I mean deal with your flesh. Okay. Okay. So, but Debbie and I actually went to Colorado and went to school there to help people with this very thing. Well, we called it the cross life back then. But it was to help you move into a place where you could be happy and not be focused on filters that came from rejection in your life. And so that's what we're progressively doing all the time, is walking out of these, the Bible's a handbook to happiness, man. Because you can look into the word and see who you are and walk out of all the rejection symptoms and walk into the new life. And then you get filled with the Holy Spirit, and that is awesome. And then trumpets is about learning how to fight the battle. And Jericho's an example because they blew the shofar and marched around the city and then they let out a praise. So it's about learning true spiritual warfare. And, church, they announced the defeat of the enemy loudly. Now tell me that doesn't compare with what's going on right now. The church needs to speak up. In your prayer closet, you need to speak up. And call your senators. You need to speak up and say who you really are and what you believe. Amen. You need to be, I'm not trying to boss you around, but I mean, this is something we need to do. I'm including myself. Amen. Not trying to be like this, but praise the Lord. Okay. So, I just want to say something about that because I only have two more and then we're going to pray. Just in case you need to know this, okay? There was a time, and some of you walked through this, that people thought that spiritual warfare was yelling at the devil, right? And they even would go up in planes and yell in tongues at the devil. Now, it's not going to do you any good to yell at an already defeated foe.
That's right.
You come from a place of victory. Every good word of faith person knows that the authority of the believer matters. You've been given authority to speak. Adam was given dominion. You've been given dominion. I mean, there's 1,000 books written on it. Brother Copeland, Andrew Womack, Brother Hagin, John McMillan. You could go. I mean, they taught us this a long time ago, but the church fell off of it. The believer has authority to bind and loose. The believer has authority in their realm, in their atmosphere, and then you have habitational authority. And you need to use that authority, and don't let satanic squatters eat your lunch. So that was a big deal. And so, Brother Hagin, one of my favorite prophets, Jesus appeared to him 8 times. Now, you say, well, why did he get to see Jesus? Because right at the turn, right in that age, people had gotten away from the Word. And they were teaching all kinds of stuff. Whew, feel an anointing about that. They were just teaching just junk, just stuff. And so Jesus would appear to him and say, look, get what this is saying. Get it right. Get it right. Think about how many people don't understand who the Bible's written to. You know, there's three peoples the Bible's written to: the Jews, the church, and the nations. You got to know when God is speaking to who in the Word of God, okay? Or else you're going to get really messed up, because Jesus said one thing about something and Paul said another. And so you got to know what was going on in the time and then apply it to your life in the correct way. Anyway, as far as the spiritual warfare, Jesus talking to Brother Hagin. He's just going, just like I'm standing here and I'm just talking to you, just talking like this. And a demon spirit came up, y'all know the story, and started going yakety yak, yakety yak, yakety yak. And Brother Hagin's going, trying to hear Jesus. Jesus sitting here talking, and Jesus doesn't even do anything. He just keeps talking. Mm-hmm. Finally, Brother Hagin gets mad and says, in the name of Jesus, get out of here. And Jesus said, I'm so glad you finally did that. And he says, well, why did you? He said, I've already done all I'm going to do. So you've been given that authority according to Genesis 1:26. You've been given that authority. So to think you need to holler at the devil or plead for God to open, heaven's been open a long time. You're now heaven's gate. And whatever you're going to do with your soul and your spirit, that's how you're going to affect the world. You need for the heaven in you to collide with this world. You need to release the power of God that's in you. Heaven's open to you. Now, listen, if you need to take that correction, take it, because we all fall back into that. We're like, sometimes you just say, oh, Jesus, won't you just come comfort my fevered brow? You know, we just feel like that sometimes. But the truth is Jesus has already done everything. We just need to receive it. We need to receive what he's done. Is he an on-time now God? Yeah, he's ever-present. And he'll work with you that way, but you need to understand what you already have. You already have dominion. And you already can take authority over so many things. You have a power that works. You have the power of the resurrection. Amen. Do I have any more? Click. Let's see if I have anything else up there. Jesus is our tabernacle. Enter the rest. That's what we need to do. Prophetic result is the rapture of the church. Click. Is that it? Peace, power, and rest. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. So, atonement is what we're doing right now. We're being washed by the Word, and we find out who we are. You need to know who you are. Identity is so important. You're not just somebody in the back trying to get through to God. Oral Roberts and Kenneth Copeland got everything. No, they didn't. You're a joint heir with Jesus. And you are the righteousness of God, and you need to keep that in your thinking. They're not going to close the window before you get up there. That's the feeling. Yeah, that you know, that's a, you know, further along, we're going to know all about it. And we never know what God's going to do. He works in mysterious ways. My Bible says he'll bring you to a mystery, and it's our honor to seek out that mystery and get the answer. And my Bible says that the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. Amen. It doesn't say we have to be ignorant and in the dark. Nope. Then preach myself happy. We need to know who we are. Amen. So we have the fire and the glory present in us to change things. All right, so prophetically, a lot of this hasn't taken place yet, but I'm telling you, we're right on the edge of it. We are right on the edge of it, ladies and gentlemen. You need to know that God is for you. He has a great, great future for you. He right now is wanting to do you good. He wants to, he loves you. It's the thief that is stealing, killing, and destroying. Jesus came to give life. He came to give it more abundantly. God loves you. Go and study the feast. I had to just do it quickly here tonight, but you can get so much revelation out of the Passover. It's a wonderful subject. Pentecost is a wonderful subject. Boy, when you get to Tabernacles, you'll start flying. I just had to do a brief overview here. Hey, God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory.